Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for the radio station, for all the prayers and provision. And most of all, for those of you listening, if this is your first time listening today, we invite you to come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about faith in healing, and this will be part three of a series that we've been preaching about faith. It started back Hebrews 11, chapter 1, and we're working off that definition given to us in the book of Hebrews, that faith is a substance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. And so you have to believe for things that you've not seen. And we're going to take up this message regarding faith in healing here. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We'll get to the message here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update what's going on in Kenya. As I mentioned in the prayer, they're having very serious flooding. Several dams in the Nairobi area, earthen dams, have broke and rivers are out of their banks. And many people have been forced out of their houses. Many people have died. The death toll now is, I think, around 150 to 200 people have lost their lives, and many people have been forced out of their homes. And because many of these homes are mud houses, they won't be able to go back to them. There'll be nothing left when they go back. And so we pray for those people and keep them in your prayers in the days ahead. The schools were supposed to open a week ago. They have been delayed because of all the floods. And so we pray for our children at the children's home, pray for the children all over Kenya that are at home and wanting to go back to school. And so as soon as the flood situation is resolved, our children, we have about 30 children we're putting in school, and they will be able to go back to school. And so keep that in your prayers. We're also praying for a school, to build a school at our children's home compound. We have 1 acre of land there, and we need another acre so we can have 2 nice acres sitting side by side, and we'll have enough room for a football field and a nice big school for primary children in the Makunda village area. And so keep that in your prayers. If you can help with any of those projects, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information, and you can find out how you can help us. Contact me, and we can talk about your help in these projects for our ministry there in Kenya. Well, today we're going to be talking about faith in healing. This is a big, big subject, and it's one that Jesus addresses, and it's addressed all through the Bible, because we have a healing God, we have a miracle-working God. Jehovah Rapha is one of the names of our God, and that means the God who heals us. And it goes through all the Old Testament, goes through the New Testament situations where God has miraculously healed people. And so it's a big subject. We want to take a look at it in more detail today, because we have been talking about faith. And so there's a certain measure of faith that has to be activated in order to receive healing. God can heal us without us activating our faith, but he wants us to activate our faith, to build up our faith, to do other things for the kingdom of God. And in talking about healing, I want everybody to understand, I'm not opposed to doctors, or I don't tell people to stay away from doctors. If the Lord prompts you or encourages you to go see a doctor, go into a medical clinic, I think that's important for you to do. I'm not preaching a gospel where we never see doctors, we never take medicine, we never take pills. These things are important in their place. They have a place in people's lives, but I also think there's plenty in the scripture to encourage people to pray for each other for healing, pray for each other for miracles, and pray for each other to allow us to be healed without the doctors. And so there are plenty of scripture to support either way. Your faith just has to support you, or you have to activate your faith on whatever level that your faith is at in order to embrace whatever provision or whatever level of treatment that you desire. And so Jesus spoke about this right up front in the book of Mark, and he dealt with it head on. And it is a remarkable story because it reveals to us that faith is activated not only for our salvation, which I hope all of you listening today, I hope you are saved, but I'm sure there's some that aren't, and so you need to activate your faith for salvation also. But in this passage of Scripture, we see that faith is also activated for healing, and so that is the message of this Scripture. There's no way to get around it. There's no way to interpret it any other way. God provided Jesus, his very own Son, to die for us on the cross, to shed his precious blood for us, not only for our salvation, but also for our healing. And so in Mark chapter 2, here we take it up in verse 3, and some men were bringing a paralytic, and he was carried by four men, and they were unable to get to Jesus because of the crowd, and so they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening through the roof, they let the pallet down on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And so we can stop right there and say, Jesus saw the faith of the men carrying this paralytic. And so that's an amazing testimony to faith. It's an amazing testimony to how faith can be activated for healing. It wasn't the person on the stretcher, it wasn't the paralytic, because he couldn't move, but the actions of the paralytic's friends led Jesus to believe that they had great faith, because they removed the roof and they brought this paralytic down through the roof into the presence of Jesus Christ. And so that was a great act of faith, and I think we can receive a teaching from that sometimes you just need to do something that is extraordinary. Sometimes you need to stretch out your faith. Maybe it's to drive a long ways or fly even to a healing meeting, a meeting that is being conducted by a healing evangelist. Sometimes that's a necessary thing to do. Maybe also you just need to pray and fast for a day or two or three. And the Bible says when you pray and fast that you will receive healing, and God will show himself to you. He will reveal himself to you. Sometimes you may need to go to the elders. James chapter 5 talks about you need to go to the elders and have them pray for you. And if a person is sick, he will be healed and his sins will be forgiven. And so if you take in the whole counsel of God and you study the whole counsel of God, you can see that faith is activated in many different ways. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to you to allow you or to prompt you to activate your faith in whatever ways God is prompting you to do that. And it won't look the same for you as it did for somebody else. It won't look the same for you today as it may have a year or two or five or years ago. As you go through life, as you navigate different illnesses, and you're going to have trials in your physical body all through your life. There's no time in your life when you're not going to have some issues with your body. We live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where there's chemicals in the food, there's chemicals in the water, there's also accidents out on the road, there's accidents in your workplace, in construction and farming and all kinds of things. And so there is not going to be a time in your life when you're not dealing with issues with your physical body. And so Jesus, again, he saw the faith of the friends of the paralytic. And sometimes that's very important. You're known by the friends that you keep. And so it's very important that you have good friends, friends that will pray for you, friends that will maybe come over to your house if you're very sick and pray for you. I can remember one instance years ago when we went to the house, all the members of the board of this church, we went to the house of one of the elders of the church, and there was about 20 of us went to that house. And we prayed for that elder, and the Lord raised him up, the Lord strengthened him, and he went on to live for many more years after what looked to be a brush with death. And so you're known by the friends you keep. And so, beloved, if you have friends that want to pray for you, friends that hold you up and encourage you, strengthen you, will walk with you and pray with you, no matter if you're sick or whatever's going on in your life, that is a wonderful thing for you to ponder and a wonderful thing for you to have in your life. So Jesus said to this paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And in verse 6, "But there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" And so the scribes that were there were accusing Jesus of playing God. They were accusing him of doing something that they said only God alone can do. And of course, they didn't recognize the divinity of Jesus. And so they were accusing him and not willing to receive the healing that Jesus was going to give them. And immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your pallet and walk?'" And so Jesus is telling the scribes, he's saying, it's the same either way for me. It's the same. I can tell this man that his sins are forgiven, or I can tell him you're healed and take up your pallet and walk. Jesus said, it's the same for me. I have the power and the authority to do both. And so verse 10, "But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home.' And he arose and immediately took up his pallet and went out in the sight of all, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" And so Jesus said, "I'm going to show you that I have the authority to forgive sins. And the way I'm going to show you is that I'm going to tell this man to arise, take up his pallet, and go home." And so Jesus was revealing his divinity right there, because he said, "I have the power to both forgive sins, and I have the power to heal." Well, the blood of Jesus does it all. The blood of Jesus is powerful. The blood of Jesus is perfect. It is precious because it came from a man who knew no sin. The Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could know the righteousness of God. And so that blood that was shed on the cross, that blood that was shed on the whipping post, was shed for you. It was shed for your salvation. So you need to accept Jesus. Say yes to Jesus if you have never accepted him. But it was also shed for your healing. And so you have to start believing for your healing. Maybe you have some kind of chronic illness. Maybe you have some kind of chronic mental problems that you're dealing with, this depression or thoughts of suicide or despair, you have to start believing for that healing. You have to start speaking blessings over your life. Start praying blessings over your life and believing that the blood of Jesus was shed for your healing. Believing that God is more powerful than that cancer diagnosis. Believing that God is more powerful than that arthritis that is bothering you each and every day. So you have to start believing for that. Start praying blessings and speaking blessings over your life. And then get up and get moving. Activate your life. Activate your faith by doing something. James says, we'll look at this later in the message today. James says that faith without works is dead. So don't just say, well, I have faith for healing. Get up and do something. Get up and move. Maybe go visit somebody else that is sicker than you and encourage them, pray with them, strengthen them. Maybe you need to get up and go into church on Sunday morning. Maybe you need to sign up for a mission trip or do something. Activate your faith. Don't just sit in your house and do nothing and say, yes, I have faith to believe for healing. Get up and do something while you have life, while your body is moving, while your body is still in motion. Move it for the kingdom of God. Get moving for the kingdom. And God will then continue to add to you. If you're faithful in a small thing, then the Lord will continue to add to you so that you can be faithful in even greater things. And so Jesus told this man, take up your pallet and go home. Well, it's obvious that he was healed because in verse 12, it tells us, and he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out in the sight of all, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And so I'm sure the scribes that were standing there, they were probably standing there with their mouth wide open and their eyes wide open when they saw this man take up his pallet and start to go home. And they probably were amazed to the point where they saw something that they had never seen before at any time in their life. Well, in Mark chapter 8, jump over to a few chapters here, chapter 8 in verse 22, another encounter that Jesus has with a blind man, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and entreated Jesus, or begged Jesus, to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking about. And then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And Jesus sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village where you are from. And so Jesus has laid his hands on this man. He spit on his eyes, which is to us in the natural a little bit unusual, a little bit gross maybe, but this was Jesus' method. This was Jesus' method on this particular situation. And so then he says to the man, do you see anything? And the man said, I see men as if they're like trees walking about. And so this is a teaching for us. You don't always get your healing 100% just because you go forward at an altar call or just because somebody lays hands on you and prays for healing for you. You don't always get 100% healing at that particular moment. There are times when you may have to be prayed for several times. There may be times when healing comes over a period of weeks or months or even years. And as you continue to exercise your faith and as you continue to activate whatever God has put before you to activate your life, to move into something for the kingdom, your healing may come as you go. Your healing may come as you are activating your faith. It doesn't even here with Jesus. It didn't happen 100% the first time he laid his hands on him. And this is the Son of God. And I think Jesus is showing us that we have to sometimes activate our faith over a period of time, and then the healing will come. I can remember a situation when I was preaching a crusade out in Kilifi, out on the coast of Kenya, and there was a blind man sitting on the front row. He had somebody to walk him around and to lead him. And at the altar call, this man brought the blind man up right in front of me. He was one of the first people to come up. He had a walking stick, and the guy was leading him also. And I prayed for that man. He had a brain tumor. The companion said, this man has a brain tumor, and it's starting to affect not only his brain, but also it's causing him to lose his sight. It was putting pressure on his optic nerve and causing him to lose his sight. And so I prayed for him, laid my hands on his head, prayed for him, didn't see anything happen. He didn't make any comments or express any emotion or say, I'm healed or anything. He didn't say anything. I didn't see anything happen. They took him back to his chair. The next morning, that companion called at 7 a.m. in the morning and said he's starting to see lights. He's starting to see people's faces. And so he was starting to get his healing. And so many times, that's the way it works. The healing comes in stages. It doesn't always come at once. And God is just encouraging you to step out in faith. And then as you step out in faith, he gives you a measure of healing according to your measure of faith or beyond your measure of faith. And then he continues to heal as you step out and do something for the kingdom of God. And so that is a teaching for us. Just go with whatever little healing, whatever small healing you have, and expect more to come the next day or the next time somebody lays hands on you. Just keep persistent in prayer. Keep asking, and it will come to you. You will receive. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, here's a situation where Jesus encounters two people. And while Jesus was saying these things to them, behold, there came a synagogue official and bowed down before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Well, he was expressing great faith, this synagogue official, probably not a Christian, probably not a believer, but just showing his faith. He was a Jewish synagogue official. He was expressing his faith. And so Jesus rose and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And so he's finished dealing with the synagogue official temporarily here, because he runs into a woman on his way to deal with the synagogue official's daughter. He runs into a woman in verse 20. It says, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. Well, you all have heard this story, I'm sure, and it's a very famous healing story with Jesus. She was crying out and had been dealing with this situation in her body for many, many years, and she was saying to herself, if I can only touch his garment, I shall get well. She wasn't asking for him to lay hands on her and pray for her. She wasn't asking for him to speak a bunch of words over her, give her a prophetic vision or prophecy. She was just saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just reach out and touch it, there will be enough power in that garment to heal me. And so that's what she did. She reached out and touched that garment, and Jesus turned and said to her, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well. And so Jesus realized that some power had gone out of him. Another passage of this scripture, he asked the disciples, who touched me because the power has gone out. And so he realized that somebody had come to him asking for healing, touched his garment, and he realized that person had great faith because the power to heal went out of him at that time. And so Jesus turned and said to her, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." And so sometimes when you exhibit great faith and you step out and do something that exhibits great faith, Jesus will reward you. He will bless you. He will give you a reward for the faith, for it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God. And so Jesus will give you a reward. He will bless your great faith. And whatever it is you're asking for, he will give it to you in response to the faith that you show. And at once the woman was made well. Well, praise God for that. And when Jesus then, he went on to the synagogue official's house, and he went to the synagogue official's house, and he saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, and he began to say, "Depart, for the girl has not died, but she is asleep." And then they began laughing at him. Well, there's another teaching point for us. There's always mockers around. If you go to a meeting and go forward asking for healing, there'll be somebody that will mock you. Maybe somebody from your family will mock you. Sometimes our family or even church members mock us when we exhibit great faith. And so there were people laughing at Jesus, laughing at this situation. And in verse 25, Matthew 9, when the crowd had been put out, Jesus entered and took the girl by the hand, and she arose. And this news went out into all the land. And so she was healed. She too arose up, and she went out into all the land, spreading the news. And so great faith brings great response from the Lord. Great faith oftentimes brings mocking and ridicule in the natural from our natural brothers and sisters, but it brings great response for the Lord. Step out today, do something that exhibits great faith. Step out today and do something for the kingdom. Maybe your healing will come because you exhibit great faith and you step out as a result of that. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all of the many years. We'd love to hear from you to help us keep this radio broadcast coming, all the good messages that we can preach and we can bring to you. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to help support it. Sit down today and write us out a check. We'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests, include those prayer requests in your letter, in your note. You can also make a donation to us on PayPal if you wish to do that. And so we'd love to hear from you. We thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. Stay tuned for contact information.